You know, you've noticed that the blue flags that are in between the flags representing nations where we're partnering with missionaries, you understand there's still gaps. I mean, it's a blessing to know that there are men and women standing in these gaps, but just as there's space between those flags here, there's a gap still there. I mean, one missionary in Mexico, Brother Kevin, that pretty much saturates Mexico, doesn't it? I mean, because I mean there's so many missionaries there, right? That's what people say. So it's pretty much there's barely room for you to fit in there. There's so few people to reach. It's not that way at all. There's been a lot about unreached peoples, it seems like, in this conference, that God has put some people in the path of these missionaries. But man, a village with four families, they were born, will live, will die in that area, probably maybe not go anywhere else. It's like that in Africa a lot. And so if the gospel doesn't go there, then what hope do they have? They're without hope, they're having no hope, and without God in the world. And but what a blessing that God would allow you to go there. What a blessing that He would allow us to partner with them. In Ezekiel, and you could turn to Colossians, but in Ezekiel 22:30, I sought for a man among them that should stand in the gap. And you think, man, that must have been someone special that God was seeking to stand in the gap to make up the hedge. Let me just quickly read to you the kind of, when it says among them, I sought for a man among them. Who's them? Let me read them to you. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things and made her many widows in the midst. That's part of the them. These are the people that God was referring to when He said, I sought for a man among them. And then here, her priests have violated my law. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves. They shed blood to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. Her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. In other words, there were prophets that were speaking and saying, here's what God said, but God had not spoken to them. And they said, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord had not thus said. And then it said, the people of the land have used oppression, exercised robbery, have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Not a great group. The very next verse, and I sought for a man among them. So, that tells me it could be any one of us. We're surrounded by corruption in a corrupt nation, in a corrupt world. But God is seeking for some people among us that will stand in the gap. In Colossians, Paul is come to the end of this letter to the church at Colossae, and he's kind of finishing this letter. And tonight we're going to talk about what I call the memory gap. One of the reasons that I believe that these gaps exist, and the gaps between the missionaries, that, I mean, Lithuania, there's, do you know how many other missionaries that are preaching the gospel that you know of around you? Maybe 3, 4, 5. How many, what's the population? 600,000. So one per every 100,000. So you probably need to send someone away. You really got too many workers there. That's the situation in the world. There's huge gaps. And I think part of the reason for the gaps is it's a memory gap. We have a conference like this and we get fired up and we meet the missionaries and we think this is great and we have their prayer cards. But then what happens sometimes? We forget. Or someone tells us there's a great need in the world and we just kind of forget about it. Now some of that is willful. We on purpose, we just decide. We choose to forget. We choose not to remember. The missionaries have to remember they're partnering churches at home. That's critical. But our churches, we need to remember the missionaries on the field. And Paul had an ability, it seems like that, to have an awareness of the world around him. What I see in these last few verses of Colossians is that there is a context, there's an atmosphere of world awareness in this passage that is sorely missing in our lives many times. Paul seemed to have the ability to be in connection with people serving in different areas at all times. He didn't have email or internet or any of those things, and yet he seemed connected to the work of God in other areas. And as we approach the end of this conference, I'm a little fearful that we can forget the excitement, and we can forget maybe the decisions, and we could forget even the Word of God just as soon as the flags disappear. Brother Tom and I were talking about, do you leave the flags up? And he said, well, no, I like the idea of bringing them up and at certain times, and you know, it just fuels that passion. And I thought, imagine if we left them up and we forgot. How much worse would that be? They're right there to remind us, and we still forget our responsibility. Paul seemed so personally connected to what God was doing. How did he prevent the memory gap? That's kind of the question I want to ask. And I see a few ways. Starting here in about verse 7, as he's just kind of closing out this letter, Paul maintained connection with people that were serving Christ. He maintained that connection, seemed like all through his life, all through his ministry. In verse 7 there, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. We know from the book of Acts that Tychicus was from Asia and maybe from Ephesus, and that he had joined in Paul's journeys when Paul left Greece to go back into Asia. And you find that in Acts 20. But Paul, he loved this man as a brother. He's a beloved brother. Tychicus was a faithful minister. He was a fellow servant, it says there. And he knew this was the kind of guy that he could send out and he would encourage whoever he went to. He said, I'm sending him to you that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. So somehow Paul wanted to know what was happening there. He wanted Tychicus to go find out what was happening. And he said, when he comes, he's going to encourage you. And so he had this connection with this other servant. By the way, when you serve God with your life, there is a fellowship of servants. He calls them a fellow servant there. And he used the word fellow laborers and fellow soldiers. And one of the great blessings that I hadn't really considered of serving God as a missionary was that that I get to be fellow laborers with JJ and Melissa, with Kevin and Crystal. That what a privilege. As I even say it, I look at these people, I've talked to them a little bit. I'm not sure, and I'm not. This isn't false humility. I'm not sure I exactly, ought to be able to just say that. But that's one of the things, when you serve the Lord, suddenly you become partners with these people. And it's a great fellowship, is it not? I took that from Brother Derek. I like how you say that. And I looked at you and said it before I knew it. But is it not? Yeah, it really is. It's a blessing. I don't know how many missionaries now that I've met that exchange prayer cards and say, well, hey, if you're ever coming by my country, man, you need to come and we'll set you up and you come and preach and we'll just fellowship. What a privilege to have fellow servants in a ministry, and one of the many, many privileges of serving the Lord. And then you see another man here, Onesimus, in verse 9, with Onesimus. So he's sending Onesimus with Tychicus. By the way, Tychicus was one of the funniest words I'd ever heard when I first got saved. I remember the first time I hit that word, Tychicus. I said it like 50 times. That's hysterical. Are you kidding me? Anyway, I remember that when I was a young Christian. The first time we read that, and somebody said Tychicus, and I said, I think it's supposed to be Tychicus, which is even funnier than Tychicus. With Onesimus was going with him. I don't know if they thought it was funny then, but it's funny to me now. So these two men were going together. He was the converted runaway slave of Philemon. You remember that story. Yeah. From the Colossian church. So that tells me, by the way, that the church at Colossae was ascending church. I love what Brother Dan says. It's not our seating capacity that's so important, but our sending capacity. Are we sending people out to serve the Lord into the gaps of the world? Well, Colossae had sent men. And Onesimus, it was one of them. But now here he was with Paul, and Paul is sending him back over. And he would add another voice to the account of Paul's situation, you know, so there would be two going to talk about it. So these two men were sent out. They'd worked with Paul. Now they're being sent away from Paul. One of the things about serving the Lord is there's a lot of sending and being sent. And you have to be sent away from people that you love, and then you have to send people away from you that you love many times. People that you mentor and train, and then you send them away from you. And then you go somewhere and you grow to love people, and then they send you as God calls you to a different area. So part of serving the Lord, there's a lot of sending away and being sent. Verse 10, Aristarchus, another man here, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. This man was in prison with Paul. If anybody's interested in that ministry, Paul had someone there serving him that had apparently got his neck out there with Paul enough that they both got thrown in prison. Then there's Mark in verse 10. Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. Mark, who was once unprofitable to Paul, now profitable again. The one that had deserted them on the first missionary journey. And Paul at one time said, no, I'm not taking another trip with him. And Mark went and served with Barnabas a different direction. Paul and Silas went this way. And now, he's right there with Paul. Isn't it good to know that God can continue to use us after we fail? Amen. I don't know if anybody else had a failure or not. I've had several. But God can still use you. The devil may be throwing that thing in your mind right now. And God is drawing you to service for Him. And you're saying, yeah. You're agreeing with your conscience. You're agreeing with the guilty thoughts in your mind. You know, the devil sends guilt. The Holy Spirit convicts us to change and grow. The devil just guilts us into feeling miserable. Maybe that thing's popping up. Don't be so sure that you can't be used. God wants to use you. Serve Him. He used Mark again. Then there's Jesus, called Justice, verse 11, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. See, this man, Jesus, called Justice, with the other four that had just been mentioned, were of Jewish descent, yet they served the apostles of the Gentiles. Well, man, if I'm supposed to be in the Middle East and we're going to base there in Ghana, well, I can't help you with the ministry there next door in Togo. I can't go down to Guyana, can I? Shouldn't be doing that. You can't mix ministries, right? You know, you got to stay in your own. Here these were men that were Jewish that had been saved, but they had no problem serving with the apostles of the Gentiles. Somehow, I don't know if that's exactly why, but somehow Paul mentioned specifically that fact and said, these guys have been a real comfort unto me. Maybe there were others that wouldn't stand with Paul. I don't know. But these ones did. And they'd been a great comfort to Paul. A lot of times we think about the ministry as being all alone, but But then there are those people that God sends to bring great comfort in your life. And God time and time again has used other men of God to be a comfort in my life. And ladies to be a comfort to Joanne. And I just want you to know that when you serve the Lord, not only we have the comforter but He will send people from time to time to bring comfort in a dry time. Epaphras is another one he mentions here, who is one of you. That's another one from Colossae. This is quite a church, wasn't it? What a sending church. They were sending people out. And he said, I'm going to mention him to you. He's a servant of Christ. He saluteth you. So now, Epaphras was not going to go and see them with the others, but he said, man, he sends his greetings to you. Then there's Luke, the ever-faithful companion to Paul. And then there's Demas. See, Luke, you notice there in verse 14, he calls him the beloved physician. Boy, he loved Luke. And then, what does he call Demas? Nothing. Perhaps Demas' character had already begun to come out. Paul said, Demas is here, but the Holy Spirit would give him no words of commendation for Demas. Later he would write, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Maybe one of the hardest things about the ministry is that there'll be people that are with you at one time and they'll forsake you later. And so if God right now is you can feel yourself trying to hold yourself back, maybe you're wondering, am I supposed to be serving the Lord with my life? And I just want to be honest with you, there's going to be some people that you thought loved you that will forsake you. That will happen. Then there's Nymphas. He lived at Colossae and had a church in his house. Probably some house churches going on in some of those small villages. I've been able to be in house churches in Iraq, in Egypt, some underground house churches in Cuba, Arizona City. That's next week, actually. I'm going to be in a house church there. It's a new church plant. They meet in the pastor's house. And I'm going for a missions conference next week in Arizona in a house church. So that is legal. It is possible, and it happens quite a bit around the world, much more than we would think, where they just meet in someone's home because that village is really not even big enough to warrant a building. But they're meeting in homes. And then there's Archippus. Finally, in Philemon 1:2, he's mentioned by Paul as his fellow soldier. He was a preacher of the word. We don't know exactly what Paul was meaning when he tells Archippus here at the end of the chapter. Verse 17, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. He actually gave the instruction to the church to go to him. So he's telling the church, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry. There's times that just as a church, we need to encourage the spiritual leaders that God has given us. Amen? There's times you just need to go to Brother Dan and say, Brother Dan, just keep preaching the word. I need it. Could you preach a little harder, though? Brother Tommy, could you just fire us up about missions a little bit more? We need to hear it some more. Brother Rob, I'm 15 and everything, but I just want you to let it rip. I just want you to tell me like it is. You probably get it all the time. Young people, sometimes you just need to go. Brother Larry said it at the retreat. We need to be challenged. And young people, we should be challenging us, saying, give me more of the word. And so he gave the instruction and said, just encourage him to fulfill his ministry. Maybe he was near, some people think he was near the end of his ministry. He was saying, just fulfill it. Just keep serving God. Maybe he's getting near the end of his life. Aren't you glad that there's not this kind of point at which you reach your peak as a Christian, like in sports at whatever 30 or 35, and then that's kind of it. It's all downhill from there. I'm glad that as a Christian, man, you just get deeper in the Word, you get closer to God, and you grow and you continue all the way until you step into glory. I'm glad that I don't have to start, it's starting to go down from here. No, not as a Christian, not at all. Man, we have more ways to serve God, more the wiser, I almost said older, but I'm not going to say that. I'll say wiser. The wiser that you get, the more you have to share, the more you have to give, the more you have to serve. What a blessing that you can fulfill the ministry, whatever ministry God's given you to serve Him and serve others. You know, just what I see here, though, is look at all these men. Paul, where's Paul when he's writing this letter? He maintained connection with all these people, and he was in prison. No matter what your situation, no matter how restrictive it may seem, no matter how much you feel like I just don't have the time or I don't have the ability because this and that. Hey, Paul's in prison with back 2,000 years ago, and he was in connection with all these men, sending them, bringing them here, sending messages. Wow. A little bit easier for us, I think. We have no excuse not to maintain that connection with godly men and women serving Christ around the world. Through email, it's easier than ever. Many of our missionaries have web pages where they update it. And we can check and see how they're doing. We can see pictures. Man, what Paul would have done with that ability to send pictures from the field, you know? Video. Snail mail does still work. For those of you that are sitting there going, I don't understand how to use that, so I don't have to do it. There is still the U.S. Postal Service, and you can still stay connected to men and women around the world serving Christ. How did he maintain that? How did he keep that memory gap from occurring? Well, he stayed connected. He maintained a connection no matter what his situation. He stayed connected to men and women serving the Lord around the world. And that's what we must do, or we will forget. We'll forget what God's doing in their life. We'll forget the great need there. We'll forget to pray. Epaphras, what a great example of that. Look at back at him. We just mentioned him briefly, but go back to verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You can maintain, keep that memory gap from growing by maintaining connection, by praying for the servants of God. Epaphras prayed fervently for his sending church. We think a lot about the praying for the missionaries, but you know, missionaries pray for us. These missionaries that we support, they had that list of people that are praying for them, and they're praying for us as well. And it's critical as missionaries that we do that, that we stay connected by prayer and pray for those churches that are helping us. They need our prayers as much as we need theirs. He prayed fervently for them to the point of laboring. He labors in prayer. When just a good question, when was the last time that we prayed to where it was work? Praying for a missionary. It was just hard. We prayed fervently. How did Paul know this, by the way, that Epaphras prayed so fervently? I mean, he's describing Epaphras. How did he know that? He probably just walked by and saw Epaphras praying and then just left him alone. You figure? I'm thinking maybe they prayed together a little bit. Wouldn't you suppose? I think Paul had a fervent prayer life. It's probably not that big of a stretch. He was laboring in prayer alongside Epaphras. Epaphras paid fervently for the churches in other cities. Look at the next verse, verse 13. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. So Epaphras is in Rome, but he's got serving the Lord there, but he has a burden for his sending church at Colossae, but he's also praying for Laodicea and Hierapolis. So here's another man. I think maybe Paul was rubbing off on this guy, and man, he had a burden for other areas. He had a zeal for several churches, not just one. That's the heart of a missionary. And it really is the heart of a global Christian. A Christian that isn't just concerned locally. We don't have a local God. We don't have a tribal God who is just concerned just with this locality. And then when we go overseas to a new culture, they say, well, no, that's your American God. No, our God loves the world. He's not an American God. He's not tribal. He's global. He loves the world. And so when we are praying for other churches around the world, that just maintains that sense in our hearts of the reality that there is a global plan going on right now. God's plan is not local, it's global. This local church is included in God's global plan. It's just automatic that this is part of the plan, but this is not the plan instead of global. No, not at all. I was in a church one time. They said, we want to have an impact on our city. We want to have an impact on our county. We need to have an impact on our state. We need to have an impact on this nation. And I almost fell off my chair waiting for the, you know, I'm like, okay, we have an impact on the world. He never said it. He stopped right there. I thought, how is that possible? I mean, that's just an automatic, right? You just talk about the... No, not necessarily. We need to have a care for the world, praying for churches around the world. There are people in this world whose name has never been lifted up to God in prayer. There are people around the world, God knows their name, but no human voice has ever lifted their name to our Father. Think about that. There are people in this world whose names have never been offered up in prayer. Do you think you've ever been prayed for? Can we even fathom what it means to be without a prayer? Literally, without a prayer. Can you imagine going your life, going to work, your family, not knowing God, without hope, and nobody knowing your name to even pray for you that you would be saved? We need to pray fervently. We need to pray for our missionaries because they are going and they are, God willing, they are impacting people who they will learn to love and then have to send out from them, that will go to that region and meet someone whose name has never been lifted up, lift that person's name up to God, share the gospel with them, see them be saved. Prayer. Fervent prayer. We can maintain connection with what's happening around the world and not let that memory gap come in by praying for God's servants around the world. And lastly, he maintained connection with places of service. Epaphras had zeal for three other cities other than where he was. Paul, in verse 16, assumed that the church at Colossae would have connection with Laodicea. He said, and when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And so he's made an assumption that there was a connection between cities, and that the churches were going to work together and try to read. The church was never intended to be self-absorbed, self-contained, or self-centered. That's not the way we've been designed. It's not how God made us. Let me just give you one more thing here to jog your memory. Let me see that map, please. Who has not heard? Again, the least evangelized world over here. Now, please don't make the mistake of thinking, well, this is the least evangelized world, so we don't need to worry about over here. That's not what we're saying. But I'm saying there's some people here whose names have never been lifted to God in prayer one time, that haven't heard the name of Jesus. Next map, please. The world by religion. Isn't it interesting that in the least evangelized world is where you find Hindus, Buddhists, and Muslims? Next slide, please. The Muslim world, also, its densest population in these areas. And you can see where Islam is moving down through Africa. Go to the next slide, please. You notice where the conflicts are on the same line. These are major armed conflicts in the year 2000. Again, you don't see a lot of them over here, do you? God's bringing us, has brought us a great deal of peace, not so in the rest of the world. The next one, please. Now, how are the children faring? Child mortality compared to rates in the industrialized world, 10 times greater in these red regions. Child mortality, 5 times greater in these regions. Now, why is that important? Look at the next slide. Because when do you hear people typically accept Christ? More easily at a younger age. This is where the children and youth as the percent of the population, 40 to 50%. Isn't it interesting that it's all in that same kind of region of the world, the unreached areas? Now, this is a generalization, but you'll begin to find these same concentrations of problems in the areas that are unreached. We need to pray for these areas. We need to care about it. We need to think about it. We can't turn it off and pretend that these problems don't exist in our world and that the gospel has somehow reached these areas when it has not. Thank you. You go to the next. So how did Paul prevent that memory gap? He thought about these things. By the way, we'll try to make some of those available if you're interested to see those or tell you where you can find them. It's a good thing to stir your heart and just keep us from forgetting the need of the world. I want to go just to the last verse of this letter. You know, as Paul is writing, he gets to this last verse and he says, "The salutation by the hand of me, Paul." Now, what happened here is Paul used someone to write for him. Could be because of his chains. Could be because of his eyes, an infirmity in his flesh. But we know that he had someone. He dictated and they wrote it. And then he got to this last verse and he says, "The salutation," in other words, he's going to sign the letter by his own hand. And that's how one of the ways they could tell for sure that Paul had written and not a false teacher. And so Paul signs it. And I wonder if Paul paused for just a moment as he went to sign the letter. It's been interesting to be there to see how he did. I don't know. Did he pause and think for just a moment before he signed it? About all the heartache, the pain, the troubles and the trials he'd been through? We don't know. But as he was going to write with his own hand, he summed it all up in 3 words. "Remember my bonds." Was there a shackle on his hand as he wrote? I don't know. Did it scratch across the parchment? Was there a tear that dropped or welled up in his eyes? I don't really know. But I know that he wrote back to people that loved him dearly and he loved dearly, and he said, "Just don't forget me. Don't forget me." And in a little while, there's going to be a letter that comes from Lithuania, from Mexico, one that'll come from Togo, another one will come across the sea from London. There'll be a letter from Guyana. The letter won't include all the heartache and all the pain. It won't include every problem. It'll rejoice in what God has done. But the letter, if you sum it up, it'll be saying about the same thing. "Don't forget me. Remember us." There's a memory gap. And if we're not careful, we'll forget about the missionaries. We'll forget about the lost world. We'll forget about people around the world. And as I looked at that letter and I thought, imagine me and my family sitting across the ocean and trying to write. I mean, I'm not going to be able to sum it all up. The keys aren't going to be able to express it the way I want to express it. You just kind of say, "Pray for us. Don't forget us." Is anybody out there? Paul in that prison wrote back to the people that loved him and said, "Remember my bonds." I'm going to ask the five missionaries if you would come. You're wise if you'd like. And I want you to come and do me a favor. I want you to come and stand and just kind of spread out. And in fact, just kind of look this way. They're going to spread all the way out to the doors for me. Now these servants are standing in the gap in their respective nations. They've already made a statement that they're going to stand in the gap. The question of this conference, we're really here this week to make some decisions. We're not here to agree that it needs to be done. We're not here to observe what God's doing. We're here to decide what more do we need to do. It's a decision time. So how will you stand financially with our mission family? That's the question that we need to answer. How will you stand in prayer? And in just a minute, we're going to do that. We're going to have just a time of prayer. But you notice, I mean, I'm glad they're going, but just like, if I can illustrate that way, just like there's gaps between them, this is not enough to get it done. Them going is not enough. If we're not praying and we're not giving to help them go, it's not enough. I really believe that. And so, let me ask you this. Is God dealing with you to stand in the gap on foreign soil? Could be. And so, I'm going to ask if Brother Dan would come, and he is going to pray for us in just a moment here. But my question to you would you be willing to come? We're going to pray for the decisions that God wants us to make. And I'm going to come down in here, and I'm telling you, I plan to stand in the gap. Not just in the Middle East and Northern Africa, but I'm going to stand with them in prayer. We're going to stand with them financially. And so, do something a little different, something we don't maybe usually do here. Haven't done this in a missions conference. I've never done it. But if you'd like to come and stand in the gap with us, then anybody that would like to, don't need to. We're just going to have a time of prayer. And if you are willing to stand in the gap financially, you're willing to stand in the gap in prayer, then I want you to come and join these missionaries. Come and join us. And we're going to stand together and pray and ask God to cement these decisions.
That's it. Just come as close as you can. Just when you get as close as you can, just stop. We're going to stand in the gap. I'm going to stand in the gap.